What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, SiriusXM Channel 159. We'll welcome our AM Radio Phillies back momentarily. A lot of stuff going on, but we're sort of in, you know, college basketball mode right now, right? It's like, all right, Final Four, National Championship game. Baseball is here as well. Got a full slate of baseball coming up tomorrow. And it's already tricky, isn't it, with baseball? Betting on baseball is like picking a damn lottery number. Like, you know what I mean? You're like, well, last time it was 9 and 10, but, like, it's going to be 11 and 12 or it's going to be 8 this time. But, like, it's like, wow, they lost 2 in a row. And we all fall right into it. I was talking about don't fall into it, but we all do. We all fall right into it all the time. But, wow, there's no way they're going to lose 3 in a row, right? San Diego aren't losing 3 in a row to Colorado, are they? And what did I say tonight? I said on the TV show tonight, I said, they're damn right they could lose 2 in a row. I said they really could. I wasn't going to do it. And at the last second, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think San Diego probably blowed them out tonight. But all my, you know, as I've been talking about my money, I've been juggling my money around. I've been tied up. It was a pretty eventful night last night, though, in baseball, if you think about it, with the Dodgers dude getting lit up. And our boy Jason B. Takafin, I saw him on Twitter. We got to get to this tomorrow with Jason on Sunday. Tomorrow, I guess, technically, wherever you are, on Sunday. I was surprised. Jason was defending the security. Basically, he had an analogy. I saw he was going back and forth with people, which he said, so just because, you know, the guy wasn't hurting someone, would you be okay if someone broke into your house and you was sleeping on your couch? And I got to talk to Jason about this because that actually happened to me before. That's happened, right? When I lived with these dudes in a band, we didn't have a lock on our front door. Like, literally, not only a lock, like the door would swing open. Like, you basically just had to push it. And not only that, we lived like on a downtown street that people would walk past, and like crazy people, and like, you know what I mean, like random people. Like, you know, one time, you know, there was like people having sex in our stairway and stuff. You know, strangers having sex in our stairway, you know, but we'd keep an eye on it. There was always someone home. Sometimes we'd block it if we really wanted to, but a lot of the time, and no one had a key. So like none of us had keys. So basically the door was always open. And so, you know, you're inviting sort of chaos and stuff, but a couple of times it'd be like people sleeping on the couch and stuff. I remember once like that we watched the dude sleeping and we were all debating how to handle it. One dude was upset, you know, saying, "Ah, oh, I want to kill this guy." And me and the other dudes were like, "Whatever, dude." We're like, you know, the door's damn open. He's just sleeping. What do you want to do? I was like, I don't know. Let him sleep. When he wakes up, we'll kick him out. But we woke him up. We're like, listen, you got to go. You got to go. And for the record, no, it wasn't Chad Kelly. Just for the record. Speaking of Michigan basketball and Michigan. See, Hunter Dickinson. Hunter Dickinson is transferring. I wish him the best of luck, but it just makes me wonder what's going on with the program. The Late Night Anchor Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people to bust them, and everybody else in between is Caitlin Clark's world. We're just living in it. But we got the men's final four. It's almost like, yeah, all right, let's get to the men's. Let's get to the men's. It really is true. Chris Monter from College Basketball News joined us a couple of minutes ago, and he even said, he goes, man, it seems like the women's tournament is getting more publicity and people are talking about it more because of Caitlin Clark than the men's tournament. But the basketball itself, I think, listen, Florida Atlantic and San Diego State, let's get right to it. I've been talking a lot about the first half under of this game, and you guys know I don't bet a lot of unders. And the reason I don't bet a lot of unders is because I always get screwed by half a point. It'll go over by a point or something weird's going to happen. I haven't pulled the trigger on the under of this game. But I tell you what, I do like the under in the first half. It's sitting at an even 60 right now. I keep on thinking about the first half of this game. They're playing in a big football stadium. You have two defensive-minded teams to begin with. San Diego State only give up 6 threes a game. We just saw Alabama go 3 of 27 from three-point land and Creighton 2 of 17 against the San Diego State Aztec defense. So it's not like Florida Atlantic are going to come out and like drop 42 on them in the first half, right? And it's not like San Diego State are going to go out and drop 38 on Florida Atlantic in the first half. Florida Atlantic don't mind playing a bruising boxing match style of a basketball game. You know, they beat the Tennessee Volunteers. Yeah, have you last time you checked, they had the Tennessee Volunteers. These guys play football, right, on a basketball court. Florida Atlantic dealt with it. Right? Florida Atlantic have dealt with physical teams and with defensive-minded teams. If this game, if Florida Atlantic were 2.5-point favorites, and like I said, we're going to get this thing up to 3. There were threes that popped up earlier today. We were live on TV earlier tonight, and every guest said, man, I'm seeing threes pop up. They didn't last long. I don't know where the public's going to go with this tomorrow. And I would expect there's going to be a ton of money that starts to come in on these games. I think the public is like a lot of us. They're confused. But if Florida Atlantic were 2.5 or 3-point favorites, I'd say we got to take San Diego State. This game really could be 60-59. I think points are at a premium. First half goes under the number, and we're pulling the trigger with FAU plus the points.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Friday Night Freak Show. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Countdown to tip-off is on. The final four is a set. Let's bring in Rob Vino right now. WagerTalk.com, RobVinoSports.com, Philadelphia, PA, in the house. Rob, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing tonight?
I am doing good, buddy. How are you?
Hey, we're ready to rock. A big weekend of basketball, women's and men's, XFL football. Is off and running. What is it? Week 7 has begun. I split tonight. I cashed the over tonight, which I think was a pretty bold pick, actually, Rob, as far as, you know, an Arlington game is concerned. But I had a feeling that the number was just a little bit light, and it did go over the number, but I pressed my luck in taking the Arlington Renegades plus the points. But, hey, we'll take the split. It is what it is.
Yeah, it sounds like we were on the same wavelength because I, too, took the Arlington side. I had somewhat no definitive word, Gabe, but I had kind of a feeling that maybe Luis Perez, they traded for him during the week, would come out and quarterback tonight, but it was Drew Plitt for Arlington. And, you know, for them, 15 points should be enough to cover when you're getting 5.5, but it wasn't tonight. Seattle's been on quite a roll as of late.
Yeah, that's their fifth win in a row for the Seattle Sea Dragons after losing the first two games of the season. And we'll get into some basketball and some baseball with Rob Vino. But as long as we're on the gridiron right now, San Antonio and Vegas. Vegas are 3-point favorites. The total is 39 in this football game. What are your thoughts on Saturday afternoon's matchup?
Yeah, I think with Vegas, it's become mechanical with me, Gabe. I just look over. in their games because I like what they do offensively. I, when you bet over, you got to love what they do defensively because it's not much. So I generally will play them over. It's been successful over the course of the last month, and I think I'll head there again tomorrow over in that game. I thought 38.5, which is the number I got, was a little bit low. Should be able to get into the 40s, so that's the way we'll play that one.
The D.C. Defenders, the only undefeated team left in the XFL. Very, very impressive what D.C. have done. They're laying 9.5 against the Orlando Guardians. The total is 45.5, and we've noticed Orlando, their offense, has started to put some points up on the board, but they still can't stop anybody. Although, with that being stated, I have cashed some tickets with Orlando as an underdog. Is this a flat spot for DC? Do they take Orlando for granted? I guess that could be a question mark. You know, 9.5 points is a lot of points, but how do we not like the over of this football game? If things play out the way that they played, this game is going to go over the number.
Yeah, and you know, when you watch DC play, Gabe, you almost, and you can't handicap this, but I think you have to consider it, the amount of pick sixes that this team has gotten, right? They seem to score with the defensive side of the football, and now that Jordan Tamu has really picked it up as the weeks have gone on, I think we expected offense would get better as they got used to each other, and certainly where DC is concerned, a team that really didn't move the football whatsoever first few weeks, now is moving the football as well behind his right arm, so if you can, you know, get something out of the defense of DC, which you usually do, that chops this from 45.5 down to, even if you only got a touchdown with no conversion, 39.5 in an Orlando game. Out of offenses, I think it's, you know, it's hard to bet under where Orlando's concerned. Let's put it that way, because as you mentioned, offensively, they've gotten a heck of a lot better, but defensively, they just don't stop anybody yet.
And just to put in context, guys, when they played against Vegas, it was 35-32. And this offense really has gotten a lot better. Last week against the Seattle Sea Dragons, they put up 19 points. They end up losing 26-19. They did cover, and I was on them in this football game. So they have been a much more competitive football team. But I do like the over in that game. And I'll tell you what. The St. Louis Battlehawks and the Houston Roughnecks, this just feels like a nice bounce-back situation for the Roughnecks. Listen, we all thought they were the class of the XFL. Wade Phillips hadn't lost an XFL game. He was 9-0, right? 5-0 and then 4-0. But they lost the last two. I'm expecting the Roughnecks to bounce back and get in the winner's circle. What's your take on the Battlehawks and the Roughnecks?
Yeah, that's the first bet I made this week, XFL, Gabe, was Houston minus the points. I just, and again, you might be able to attribute it to fourth quarter garbage time last week when Houston was so far behind D.C. and they started to come back and they scored points in the fourth quarter. But they did it after the quarterback switched to Cole McDonald, the ex-Hawaii quarterback. And I just thought he looked so much better running that offense. If he takes charge this week, I think they do get back into the win column here. Offensively, I do think they're the superior team, and defensively with their pass rush could cause some trouble for St. Louis here. So that was one that I really liked. I thought, you know, basically they're just telling you that on a neutral field, these two teams are even. They're giving you three for home field, and I don't believe that they're even on a neutral field. I think Houston is the better squad. So I'm there with you. I bet Houston early this week.
Rob Vino joining us, wagertalk.com, robvinosports.com. Rob, are you ready for some USFL football? We've got the NFL draft that's less than a month away, but it's crazy, isn't it? Because, you know, you got March Madness, Major League Baseball is back, the Masters is this week, and oh yeah, the USFL is now just weeks away from kickoff. Are you ready to go? I got to tell you what, I've got some research to do, but we're looking forward to handicapping it in the same way we've been attacking the XFL. And I'll tell you what, I have sort of, you know, a little sneak peek, and I was sort of, you know, a little quick reminder. And I was reminded that some of these teams were pretty good. Birmingham was pretty good. The New Jersey, the Generals were pretty good. And if you look at the draft this year in the USFL, there's actually some pretty talented players. The Incarnate Word quarterback is somebody that the Scott kid, he's somebody to keep your eye on. So I am looking forward to adding a new league to the rotation, Rob. USFL football starts Saturday, April the 15th. And Philadelphia, of course, has a team.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Gabe. And last year, Help me real quick, because last year they played every single game in Birmingham, and we found that Birmingham was a real good advantage for that team. But I don't believe that they go to City this year, do they? I think they were going to play 2 years in one set site. But I'm not
get this, Rob. Yeah. I'm glad you brought it up. Very interesting. They're playing in three different locations this time.
Okay.
So, but like two teams will play in each city type of thing. You know what I mean? So they're going to be playing at Ford Field, right? So, so that's their home, like Michigan's home field. I can get you the exact cities, but they're playing in, here, USFL locations. They're going to be playing in Birmingham, Alabama again, in Michigan, and I believe in Memphis, Tennessee as well. So, like, Houston and Memphis. Okay, here we go. Exactly. For the 2023 season, the Birmingham Stallions and New Orleans Breakers will be hosted in Birmingham. The Pittsburgh Maulers and New Jersey Generals will play in Canton, Ohio. The Michigan Panthers and the Philadelphia Stars will play their games in Detroit. And the Memphis Showboats and Houston Gamblers will be hosted in Memphis. It's kind of confusing, it is what it is.
It makes it a unique handicap, right? I just remember, and again, XFL has been profitable, I think, for the two of us. I think I speak for the two of us. And USFL last year was profitable, and I think it's because we found some of these key edges. But I just remember last year when Birmingham would play, there'd actually be people in the stands, and then the other teams would play in Birmingham, and there'd be like 15 people in the stands. So it was a huge advantage for Birmingham during the season. And we'll try and separate this as we go along and maybe pass on whatever the best advice we can give to your listeners is concerned. But I'm looking forward to it. I thought that draft was pretty wild, and I got a few notes to put together myself. So I'm sure we'll talk about it down the road.
Yeah, it is an interesting format. But, hey, the more football, the better. And there's lines on it. And one thing with the USFL, they've got some serious TV deals and stuff. So there's going to be a lot of coverage.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Of the USFL. All right, we're going to get into the Final Four. Rob Vino will get his thoughts. Major League Baseball, of course, is back. Me and Rob both like to pull the trigger on college basketball overs. I'm curious to see if he's willing to get there with San Diego State and Florida Atlantic, because I am not right now, unless Rob can convince me otherwise. The Friday Night Freak Show, the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabriel Morenci on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, wherever you may be. We're throwing it down on SiriusXM Channel 159. Countdown to tip-off is on. The Final Four is set. An improbable Final Four at that, isn't it, Rob? With Florida Atlantic and San Diego State, the winner will be playing in the national championship game.
Yeah, it really is, Gabe. I mean, when they dwindled this down to the Sweet 16 and reshaped the future board to win this tournament, you know, three of the teams that are going to participate tomorrow were the 13th, 14th, and 15th choices to win this whole thing. So you could have made a lot of money with any of these teams on the future board, a 4, 2, 5s, and a 9. You and I have talked about this quite a bit every Friday night about how this parity in college basketball could be here to stay now. But certainly this year, it has shown up big time in the form of the four that we're going to watch tomorrow.
I think things will go back to somewhat normal in a couple of years. I know we're in a new era right now, but I really do believe the COVID years really, really changed college sports, didn't it? And as we see specifically college basketball, in which everybody got the extra year of eligibility, and it's really, really helped teams. Look, the powerhouses, players are only staying. They're not staying that long anyways. And the NIL and now the transfer portal as well it'll be interesting to see how it continues, because I saw Coach Izzo was complaining about the transfer portal. But I've been telling people, Izzo isn't this great big teddy bear that everybody says he is, Rob.
No, that's for sure. And
Tom Izzo's looking out for Tom Izzo, all right?
No, absolutely. And you know what? This COVID year and the stuff you just mentioned, Gabe, that even things out a little bit right now, it's actually helped these teams for their future recruiting, right? Florida Atlantic wasn't really on the map, but now kids might want to transfer into Florida Atlantic. San Diego State, pretty well brand name school, but more kids to San Diego State now. Same thing goes for Miami of Florida, where basketball is concerned. So I think it's a good thing. And how about Conference USA, Gabe? CBI, wow. NIT, could they pull off the threesome? I don't know.
It really is unbelievable, isn't it? Conference USA's world, we're just living in it. And speaking of San Diego State, you're right, because, listen, they've had Kawhi Leonard play there, right? So Kawhi Leonard is, you know, one of the great NBA players. Oh, yeah, he never plays, but you know what I'm saying. Great NBA players. They've had some very good, you know, football players as well. Our guy Kyle Turley, Marshall Faulk. There's been some great, great football players, but they don't get the massive big-time recruits, you're right. Yet something like this could, you know, as you stated, there's always a run on student enrollment after, not to mention San Diego's not a bad place to live, right, and play. You got a great coach. It's a great, great program. It's a beautiful city. There's a lot to like about it. We'll see the spike that they get. Look at VCU, right? Change VCU forever, those runs that they went on.
Yeah, no question. And we'll see tomorrow. I mean, Connecticut, obviously, now back into the limelight. They were there for so many years, disappeared for a while, but Danny Hurley has them back now. So, yeah, it's good for college basketball this way, I think, with these teams. And even some of them that made it into the Sweet 16, Gabe, will capitalize off of this. So, you know, tomorrow's going to be a big day. Two good contests, and we'll see how they shape up.
You know, Tony Gwynn, he had more career assists with San Diego State than he did strikeouts in Major League Baseball.
You know, I heard that and I did not know that until I heard it the other night. That's amazing. That really is amazing.
So how about this? Yeah, Gwynn played both baseball and basketball at San Diego State. He still owns several records. His 590 career assists are the most in school history. His 221 assists in the 1979-80 season are a record. In fact, Gwynn owns the top three single-game assist tallies in Aztecs history. 18 assists against UNLV in 1980. That's just unbelievable. I think people, like, realize that about the great, late, great Tony Gwynn. What a great athlete he was. So you and I both like pulling the trigger on the overs. I like the first half under of San Diego State and Florida Atlantic, Rob. It's 60. I keep coming back to 26-24, 27-26. Hell, 30-27 still wins this bet. I just don't see how both teams get to 61 in the first half.
Man, I'm so with you on this, Gabe. It's almost like we handicapped this one together. I talked about it today on a Wager Talk Final Four show. The number I got was 60.5. And, you know, all you have to do, and again, we're betting against numbers, so you have to apply math to this. But I just said to myself, can you see 30 aside from these two teams in the first half in a football stadium with one team that starts three sophomores that may be a little
of a Final Four game with the stakes that high?
Hey, how about Florida Atlantic plays in front of 2,900? Now they're going to play in front of 71,000. You know, maybe they don't come out nervous, Gabe, and they drain everything in sight, and I have to end up ripping up my ticket. But I'll take my chances that these two teams, which so far combined in the tournament where first half is concerned, are 6-2 to the under. So I played it. I thought 60.5. Again, shop it as best as you can, because I know some places have knocked it down to 60, and you want to cash tickets here. But I'm with you. I like first half under in that game.
What do you think about the side in the game? And I tell you what, it's funny because I like the first half under, but I prefer the first half under than the actual game under, right? Because I think, you know, like you said, man, even 30-29 is still a winner, right? Yet, let's say it is hypothetically, you know, 29-28 or 30-29 or something like that at the half. It could potentially creep over that number. You know what I mean, Rob, in the basketball game? I'm not playing the game under. I'm just playing the first half under.
Yeah, I'm with you, because when you go back to the Alabama game, Gabe, that was 28-23 at halftime. San Diego State on top, only 51 points in a game total at 137, and it just about got there. It got to 135, second half wound up scoring 84 points, and I think as kids start to get more comfortable to the venue, and of course we know that at the end of the first half, you don't have the run on foul, make a three, call a timeout, foul, make a two, call a timeout, and all the points that can be accumulated in the last 90 seconds or so of a game that's close. The line indicates to us that this will be close down the stretch. So I'm with you. You would try first half, or I tried first half under, and I'm more leery of full game under because of what happens at the end of games.
I got to be honest. The same thing with MMA, Rob, like with the UFC fight. My first instinct, football, same thing, right? Like, you know, that Sunday night when you see the numbers come out for the following week, your initial reaction is usually the correct one. And I've always found if I flip-flop on a game or I'm not sure, but it's a big game and I end up betting on it as opposed to, oh, no, you know what, right away I see it. No, I like this. Then I got a problem. And I can't lie, I got a problem with this. I've sort of been, man, this game is tough. And then, well, you know, San Diego State's defense is just so good. And look what they did to Alabama and all this. I can't lie. Now the game is approaching, I'm looking and I'm like, man, FAU are getting 2.5 free points right now. Like, it's hard to justify going against them. This is a really tough side to handicap and pick, in my opinion.
I think it is. And it's funny you say that because I always use the analogy of the Mike Tyson fights during the 80s. Like, Mike Tyson would sign to fight somebody, and you know right away as soon as the fight is signed, you just watch Tyson destroy somebody, and you know, I'm betting Tyson, I'm betting Tyson, I'm betting Tyson. But the fight doesn't come around for 4.5, 5 months, and during that time, you read a bunch of stuff, you hear a bunch of stuff. You have enough time to convince yourself that, you know, Michael Spinks has a shot.
You start overthinking things.
He's going in 30 seconds. So I agree with you. First gut instinct is usually the correct one. And I would, you know, I didn't have a real good gut instinct on this side, Gabe, to tell you the truth. I kind of lean San Diego State just because they start 4 seniors, the other side starts 3 sophomores. But I have, you know, you have to have some type of respect for Florida Atlantic and what they do in all facets of the game, whether it be on the glass, whether it be defensively, whether it be what they did to Tennessee in the second half after not making any threes in the first half and come out and take the lead from Tennessee. And that's the game that's most comparable to this one, right? San Diego State and Tennessee are probably very like as opponents are concerned style-wise. So I don't know. I could make a bunch of arguments back and forth. I do like under, especially first half. I looked at some team total unders, but again, which side do I play under? I just don't know. You know, you could play either one and make a case for either one.
Rob Vino with us just for a couple more moments. Rob, we got about 2.5, 3 minutes here, so let's pick up the pace. I got a piece of UConn at 22-1 to cut down the Nets. And, you know, Miami have been playing great. I get it. Larinaga is 7-1 against the spread the last 8 tournament games. I get it and all that. But I still think UConn are going to win. I think they're going to cover, actually. And I like the over of this game. What are your thoughts on that game? And then on the way out, do you have a baseball game that you like tomorrow that you want to share with us? What are your thoughts on the UConn-Miami game?
Real quick, where the UConn-Miami game is concerned, I played it multiple ways, Gabe. And if the results go the way you want them to go, then we're both going to be happy. I think UConn's the right side. I could get into a bunch of reasons, but we don't have enough time. And I do think that total, maybe both totals, Gabe, first half total is 69.5. And I know I just talked about big venues and shooting backgrounds and whatnot, but there's going to be so many opportunities the way these two teams play to score points that I believe 69.5 is a little bit.
I was thinking the same thing. They don't just have to shoot threes. They're so quick to the rack, these teams. They play downhill so much.
Transition, free throws, whatever. I like all of that. First half over, full game over. I like UConn to win and advance to Monday. You know, they just got 2 of everything, right? I mean, it just doesn't matter. Somebody had me looking into the future board for tournament MVP, and you notice that Sanogo is like +260, and Jordan Hawkins, I think, is +$4. And UConn's got a lot of guys that you could go through. Miami's a great team. I just don't think they're deep enough here. I think the absence of Dylan Dessou hurt Texas last week when they had that 13-point lead and let it disappear. As far as baseball is concerned, Gabe, the one thing that I've looked at tonight real quick before we get out is San Diego, because they're going to be off of 2 losses heading into tomorrow's game. So kind of looking at the Padres to go ahead and maybe get themselves on the board. Colorado, unbelievable to win 2 games. But Michael Wacha is not my favorite pitcher in the world, but I think I'm going to change the price here and go run line San Diego and hope that the offense gets to Urena. That was my first initial look tonight when I started looking at the baseball card. Padres full game run line -1.5.
Right now, -225 on the money line, -105.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
On the Run Line. Great insight and information as always. I can't believe how time just went by. Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio, as we say. Rob, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for the time.
All right, buddy. Thanks for having me. Good luck this weekend.
Man, I got to learn to talk even faster so we get more information in the Late Night Anger Management class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm an artist.
You? An artist?
Your husband's work is what we call outsider art. It could be by a mental patient or a hillbilly or a chimpanzee.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency, the principal players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. Philadelphia beat the Toronto Raptors tonight, but the big story after the game is Nick Nurse and his comments. He actually made the comments before the game tonight, and you look at the Toronto Raptors and the Raptors' season. They should be better than they are. We were talking about this with Chris Monter. You look at teams like the Minnesota Timberwolves, Atlanta Hawks, Toronto Raptors, teams with talent that, you know, have been pretty good or could be good. They're supposed to be better, but they just sort of, they're 500 caliber basketball teams for one reason or another. And I think there's a common pattern and theme. Dysfunction, questions, controversy, a lot of different a lot of different reasons. Yet, you look at the Raptors are case in point of this, in which, you know, the trade deadline really sabotaged their season. And that's on the organization in Masai Ujiri letting it go on as long as it did. And you saw the Raptors got much better after the trade deadline. Yeah, they brought in Jakob Poeltl, okay? They bring in Jakob Poeltl, but the fact of the matter is there was so much talk about OG. There was so much talk about Fred VanVleet. There was so much talk about, like, dismantling the team. And Nick Nurse discusses this right now. You know, it's been a frustrating year for the organization. And I always tell you guys, I don't buy into Raptor rumors, but I do believe, and I said this last night, actually. I said, this one actually is real. If there's one thing I do know about the Raptors, is the Raptor players have tuned Nick Nurse out. Nick Nurse's relationship with the organization, I think, is somewhat strained, in a sense. I think Masai Ujiri, and I said all this last night, and it's funny that now we see Nick Nurse's comments about this. I think Masai Ujiri is on the side of the players more than Nick Nurse. I'm not saying that the players and Nick Nurse are at war, but I think that Nick Nurse kind of knows down deep inside that he's not going to be there in the long term. And therefore, he's not cultivating relationships. You know what I mean? Look, how many coaches have, like, you know what I mean, like, their name on their hat? Not the team's name, right? There's a lot about him. And as I stated, I can't speak for everybody on that team, but I do know from a couple of people very close to the situation that a lot of players on the team think he's an egomaniac that takes credit when they win and then blames the team when they lose. There was the Laker rumors in the past with Nick Nurse, and I don't think the timing was right, but he is represented by LeBron James as agent and Maverick Carter and all that in Clutch Sports. And that's who Nick Nurse's agent is. So I think it is the end of the line for Nick Nurse with the Toronto Raptors. And I thought this already before he was incredibly honest and open. Nick Nurse was asked about the reports that he is being going to be courted and linked to the Houston Rockets. So if you're a Rocket fan, you're going to get a damn good coach, and you might get Victor Wembanyama out of this too. And I think that's what Nick Nurse is thinking, that, you know what, I'll get some big-time player, Scoot Henderson, Victor Wembanyama, and I'm going to get paid a ton of money by the Houston Rockets. Because I don't think the Raptors want to pay him. Right? I think it's one of these deals, sort of like Fred VanVleet. I think the Raptors are, it's like a crossroads where I think they're finally going to tear apart the championship team, so to speak, in which, yeah, Nurse, you won a championship, but that was then, this is now. We're not going to make you like the highest paid coach in the NBA. You know what I mean? We're battling for a freaking play-in right now. Fred VanVleet turned down $30 million a year. So I think there's some retooling going on here. All of which is like, yeah, whatever. Just get to my 40 wins and then I'll be good. And I don't really care what happens at this point. We've got a big play on the Raptors over 39 and a half. They're at 38 right now. They can't win on the road, this team. But they're playing two games in a row at Charlotte. But if Nick Nurse would shut up, maybe, you know what I mean? This is the thing with this team that upsets me. It's like Fred VanVleet totally was a massive distraction leading into the trade deadline, posting stuff online and stuff. And now you got Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse is, oh, you know what? We just want to make the playoffs and make this a deep run. Then what are you talking about, like, leaving for? So his exact words were, when asked about the Houston Rocket reports, he'll take a few weeks to see where he's at after the season. Nick Nurse went on to call it a difficult season from a number of standpoints. Pretty much everything that we've said and we've known. Early on, we had some pretty serious injuries with some key guys. I thought we kind of weathered that for a while. And then, yeah, I think the trade deadline stuff, there were like 1,000 rumors. 999 of them were about us, it seemed like. That was pretty interesting as it gets. Nurse was asked where his head is at. First off, I think when the season gets done, we'll reevaluate everything. Even personally, I'm going to take a few weeks to see where I'm at. You know, he sounded like Aaron Rodgers now. I need to see where my head's at and just see how the relationship with the organization is and everything. It's been 10 years for me now, which is a pretty good run. I don't know. Over those 10 years, we got up there with the most wins in the league. We've had a lot of big seasons here. And then right now my head is to make this as long as the season as possible. So that's where I'm at right now. Finish these six games out, see where we land and see if we can't creep up a spot or two in the standings and then give them hell in the playoffs and see if we can get in a real series and take it from there. Not exactly like overwhelming. Like, you know, as I say, like all of this is real. All right. All of this is like, all of this is out there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this stuff goes on with teams. Like, stuff happens, and, you know, it's not talked about publicly, but you shouldn't talk about it publicly. Like, what if you're Nick Nurse, you pretty much just let everybody know, yeah, I'm done here. We'll see where my relationship with the organization is. So, what, in other words, if the organization kisses your ass, which they're not going to do, Masai Ujiri is going to think, you know what? I gave you this damn job, and, you know, I'm going to give someone else the job now. So if you're a Houston Rocket fan, get ready. I believe it. That Nick Nurse will be your new head coach. We'll see who they end up getting in the draft. So as far as the Final Four is concerned, thanks to all of our guests throughout the week breaking it down. Not too many people. Listen, you break down these games, man, and the first one is as hard as it gets. That's why I think what is frustrating about this Final Four, too. Like we said, the women have been getting more publicity, but the first game up, you can't just say, oh, yeah, there's no way Florida Atlantic, you know, lose this game. There's no way San Diego State lose this game. As I stated, for me, I'm taking the underdog only because we're getting points. So if you're a San Diego State fan, this isn't I'm disrespecting your program, disrespecting the team. Not that I don't believe in them. If San Diego State were plus +3, I would take the Aztecs. I think this game could be that freaking close. And also, Florida Atlantic don't rely on the three ball. So I think, you know what I mean? Look at Alabama. Alabama live and die with the three. Creighton live and die with the three. Florida Atlantic don't live and die with the three. Florida Atlantic played the Tennessee Volunteers. Right? Florida Atlantic have shown an ability to play against physical teams. Right, they played against the Memphis Tigers. They beat the Memphis Tigers. Memphis, like, are, you know, are more more athletic. San Diego State, in a way, not as disciplined, but very athletic and, you know, very physical basketball team. The Tennessee Volunteers are as physical as it gets. Florida Atlantic didn't have a problem with it. All right, Kansas State, you want to run? You want to play street ball? You want to play New York City Rucker Park ball? We're going to beat you, and they beat them. This is why, ultimately, I look at Florida Atlantic. Like, San Diego State can't win in a bunch of different ways. San Diego, and that, you know, God bless them. And that's why they're here right now. They believe in what they do. They don't panic. It was incredibly impressive against Alabama. Like, I thought Bama were going to come back. If you remember, they cut it to the lead to, like, 2. I think it was 55-53 after being down 11 or 12. And it was like, oh, yeah, here they come. Here we go. No, but in San Diego State, like, punched back and hit clutch shots late. They don't change what they do. They don't get rattled. But if you look at Florida Atlantic, they're very chameleon-like. As I stated, you know, they beat Memphis in a bruising sort of style game that people thought Memphis would get the better of them at. Although Memphis weren't massive favorites or anything. Tennessee Volunteers, as physical as they come in college basketball. And then they play a K-State team that wants to run, and then Florida Atlantic beats them. It's just hard not to look at Florida Atlantic and how they're able to adapt to different games, different styles. So I'm going to lean on the points here, although it wouldn't shock me at all if San Diego State wins 65-64. I hate taking unders, but we are pulling the trigger on the under in the first half of this game. As far as the UConn-Miami game is concerned, the complete opposite. As we were saying, both FAU and San Diego State, neither of these teams really want to run up and down the court and get into a track meet anyways. The Miami Hurricanes need to make this a track meet against the UConn Huskies and hope that they just sort of outscore them and rattle them. And UConn are not going to be intimidated of getting into a track meet and playing an up-tempo game, as we saw them just absolutely murder Gonzaga playing that style. I'm not overly concerned. I don't like it. I wish Jordan Hawkins, I don't know how he's feeling right now, and I don't want to, you know, overly think things and become like Mo Sislak and walk into the hey, how's Lisa and Bart? Any injuries we should know about? But we had Matoy Pearson on from WinBet earlier tonight, and I asked him about the illness to Hawkins, and he didn't make much of it. And the odds makers, look, there hasn't been any line movement. If the odds makers legitimately believed that Hawkins wasn't going to play, the line would move. Just because he didn't participate in an open practice, I wouldn't make too much of that. Is he going to be 100%? Maybe not. I don't think it's ideal. Connecticut are minus -5.5. The total is 149.5. This game is going to be a track meet. We're going to bet the over of this game. And we'll pull the trigger on the first half over of this game as well. I've got UConn to win the national championship at 20.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
2-1, but I'm going to lay the points with the UConn Huskies tomorrow. The late night anger management class continues. Countdown to tip-off does as well. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. Matthias sent me a picture. I didn't get to it, actually. Was that Pereira with the Chuck Liddell look? That fight's next week, actually. That's going to be cool. That's next week. We'll definitely get into to that. So follow me on Twitter. I like the look, actually. I like the look.
I thought of you right away because I know that you always bring up Chuck Liddell and the Chuck Liddell days. So, you know, you got to love Alex coming out with that haircut.
It's a nice nice tribute. You look good on him, actually.
It looked damn good, Gabe. It looked damn good. Yeah. You should rock
He had it tighter than Chuck even. Chuck had it, you know what I mean? He's like a meaner looking, like new Chuck Liddell. Oh, those were good days, though, Matthias. That's what I'm saying. Like, the guys are more athletic now. You know what I mean? They're better athletes now. I'm not going to deny it, right? Like, there were more fighters before. You know what I mean? It was more just, you know, fighting. You know, I'm not saying there wasn't, like, different elements and stuff, but that era was just great. Like, the Rich Franklin, Carlos Condit, Chuck Liddell, different weight class and stuff. But just, you know, all those guys, great times. Tito Ortiz, too. But Tito is sort of, you know, people don't like talking about Tito now, but Tito was a big part of, obviously, the UFC growth. All right, so yeah, follow us on Twitter. We're going to have a lot of picks tomorrow. Remember we talked all those MLS games last night. I like the MLS tomorrow. St. Louis, how do we not take St. Louis? All they do is win. The Vancouver Whitecaps haven't won a match yet, but they've actually played well. It's one of those weird deals where, like, they deserve better. They played well. I think they break through. Montreal blow, all right? Montreal is in Vancouver on Saturday night. I think the Whitecaps are going to break through. Both teams have scored in every Whitecap game this year as well. That's something to keep your eye on. The Women's National Championship. I'm not getting in front of Caitlin Clark. Give me the Iowa Hawkeyes. Sorry, Mulkey. FAU plus 2.5, under 60 in the first half. UConn win, UConn cover, game goes over. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.